Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'll tell you, I'm just as jacked tonight as I was, but I need a new move. You know, Okay. Man, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to the great revival at Guts Church. Every pastor, and many of them are watching right now, hey fellas, girls, whomever, that it gets around, they're like, well, how are you doing that? And we're just saying we're going to be here at 6:30 every night at the end of the week. And then tomorrow is all day prayer, 9 to 9. I'm going to be here throughout the day and in the evening. We've got incredible leaders, anointed people that are gonna minister, that are gonna lead you in prayer all throughout the day from 9 to 9. You know, there's people watching that from hospital rooms right now, and the report that Sheldon gave about the best news, the only good news that they'd gotten in 2 years. Let me tell you, I just believe there's more where that came from. All this is good news. That's all this is. That's what revival is. That's what refreshing is. That's what breakthrough is. You know, last night, God laid it on my heart to commission people. And I'm telling you, it's God's heart to commission everyone in this room, everybody watching online tonight. And you'll say, well, does that mean I'm going to be a preacher? Yes, you should be. In your notes, just write down, I should be a preacher. It may not be with a mic. It may not be on a stage. But it may be when you're doing electrical work and someone's working alongside you. It may be when you're changing bedpans in a hospital room. It may be when you're helping a little kid at a daycare. Man, we have a co-mission in our life with Jesus. And that's what we have to understand. You know, we've got to be in a place where what God's doing is, it's not just the interest or the paramount interest of our life. It is the thing in our lives. What's God doing? What's God doing right now? And you know, if nothing else, that's what we're going to find out. If that's all we find out in the 60 days of this revival, and we find out what God's doing, do you understand how big that is? How amazing that is? And tonight, man, we've got to be in a place where, can I see my notes, Rebecca? We've got to be in a place, thank you. You guys love Rebecca? We've got to be in a place where, and Roger Walsh ministered to me last night after the service. Roger's an elder here. He's been in the church forever. I don't remember us having Guts Church without Roger. Do you, Sandy? And I'll tell you, a true man of God in my life. A man that I submit my life to. And he said something last night, and because something started happening, and the way I look at it is the pool started turning when we talked about blessing last night. But I want to promote miracles, and then God showed me the difference between miracles and blessing in such a tangible way, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I got to tell people. And then Roger said that we've got to, and write this down, because it impacted my life. Roger said, deserve has to come out of our vocabulary. See, that's how the devil's going to mess with us, because we don't deserve this. We don't deserve the power. We don't deserve the authority. We don't deserve the love that God gives us. We don't deserve to be forgiven. Just, do you understand? The God kind of forgiveness is a wholesale forgiveness. No matter what we've done, no matter who we've done it to, no matter how many people were affected, there's just forgiveness. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 5, through one man's obedience. Notice it didn't say his sacrifice. And I'll tell you right now, man, if God came to me and said, hey, Shear, give me a thumb and there'll be revival, man, take it. Lop that sucker off. But he's not. He's not looking for us. He's looking for just simple, ho-hum obedience. And that's because the power of God's blessings are perpetual. I mean, they just keep rolling. And I'll tell you, we live in a blessed country. No matter what the media is saying, no matter what prognosticators are predicting, I'm telling you, America's blessed. And there's that age-old question. Why are there so many miracles on the mission field and not here in America? A, I know there are miracles in America. Let me tell you, the lesions that left that woman's organs is a miracle. Okay, but listen, it's because of the blessing that's on this country. How blessed we are, how prosperous we are. Man, how we're able to come together and we're able to just preach the word freely. No matter what anybody thinks. There might be things tonight that you disagree with, and you know what? You get to have that opinion. Understand you'll be wrong. But you're allowed to disagree. And see, and that's the nature of God. For so much of my life, I was wrong. And God loved me. God forgave me. God was kind to me. And then God showed himself real and alive in such a way I couldn't get around it. I had to just say, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And I want to make a proclamation tonight that we are a church that's full of blessed people. You're here tonight, I believe, because you're blessed. You're here tonight because you want to get under that canopy of blessing. Because that's what it is. See, I always look at it, and this is just my personal opinion, but I look at the nature of God, I look at his grace that's on my life, and I see it as an umbrella, as a canopy that's over my life. And it's a canopy, and if I stay under that canopy of God's strength and God's power, God's supernatural ability, God's favor. Say God's favor. I stay under that canopy of God's favor. It's like, oh my gosh, what else do I need? Just that the grace of God is sufficient, is my sufficiency no matter what. We're a church full of blessed people. And we're on the verge. We've entered into, Ryan, you know this already. We've entered into, and we're on the verge of a new move of God. God's doing something new. And I'll tell you why. When Gustavo Paez is sitting in my office and he looked at me and Pastor Sandy and said, you're to do a 60-day revival. I didn't hesitate or question or wonder or try to figure it out. I just was like, yes, okay, go. Well, then we figured, he said, look, it's to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I said, okay. And then we looked at the calendar, and that 60-day revival fit in the window of that day and Easter. And I thought, this is handy. This is convenient. See, but this is going to require, let me tell you what revival requires. Revival requires bold proclamations from us. If I got up and thought, you know, I don't know if it's God's will, you'll get a miracle. I don't know if it's God's will, he'll supply your need. That's not a bold proclamation. See, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer of bold proclamation. God, you give us this day our daily bread. You forgive us our trespasses. And God, because we're forgiven, we forgive everybody else. And I'm telling you, through this time, don't expect to receive from God with unforgiveness in your heart. He's not going to coexist with unforgiveness. You've got to get it out of your life. No matter how hard you think it is, you just got to say, God, I forgive them. God, I forgive her. God, I forgive them. See, but we've got to make bold proclamations toward the kingdom. That's how we live the kingdom. That's the key to the kingdom. And it's true in Matthew 28, where Jesus said, our Father who's in heaven. And it's true today. See, this is the dream on earth as it is in heaven, is the dream of God himself. From a people who are created in his image. Tonight is a commissioning service in this 60-day revival. When Gustavo was here in October, there was a commissioning that came upon Taylor. And the year before, there was a commissioning that came upon Pastor Sandy and me. Well, tonight, and other people in here, tonight, but let me tell you what's required for a commissioning. It's a breakthrough in finances. And I know everybody perks up where it's like, more money, more money, more money, you know? I mean, it's like, look, that's not our attitude. We don't take a worldly approach to money. Money in the world is the principal thing. In the kingdom, wisdom is the principal thing. And we've got to know that. We've got to remember that. So a breakthrough of finances requires three simple disciplines that we're obedient to. Number one is radical generosity. And you know, there's people that'll say, man, do I give till it hurts? It's like, I don't know, don't care. You have to get as much in that account as you can. Because at some point, let me tell you, as soon as that money hits that account that you have in the kingdom, the scales tip. That's how it works. And there's not a service where Sandy and I aren't putting something in that offering. Every time we come together. And you know what? Honestly, there's times where the amount matters, but most times it doesn't matter. We just want seed in the ground. We just want finances on that scale to tip that scale. Radical generosity. This will create a reformation in our lives. And you know, it's interesting. I read a book a long time ago, and I think that it was repeated. It was rewritten, and the author even escapes me. But he said that biblical investments, if your investment that you make is biblical, is scriptural, there's a 100% return every year. So let me tell you what your tithe does. Let me tell you what your offerings do. Let me tell you what your giving does. It creates, listen, a supernatural kingdom-like effect on your finances that every investment you have, and you know, there's some, if you could get a 10 or 12 or 15% return every year, man, you'll dance in the streets. I'm telling you, God will cause that investment to be a 100% return every year. And listen, you can't let that be over your head. You can't go, well, I don't want to think about that kind of thing. And I'll tell you why. You're a priest on this earth, so you've got to have the word in your heart. But you're also a king on this earth. And you know what? You're representing the King of Kings. And the King of Kings is radically generous. He pours out upon his people. See, so we've got to look at it. Some of you guys have got investments, and you know what you've got to do? You've got to call 100% return this year on that investment in Jesus' name. Well, I wonder what's going to happen in the stock market. Don't care. I wonder what oil price is going to do. Do not care. I eat good the words that come out of my mouth. Well, I've made some bad investments. Really? Do you tithe? That just flipped that investment. See, we've got to look at it like this. It's radical generosity. Number two is contentment. And you know my personal working definition of contentment? You know what it is? I don't need a bunch of stuff. Don't need a bunch of stuff. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, that's what you're doing in this revival. Oh, dear God, some of you guys need a gold star in your chore chart. You've been here three nights in a row. No, you're just putting God first. You're putting his righteousness first. Every one of us can have tons of explanations, tons of excuses on why we can't come or why we can't do it. It's like, no, I'm going to be here because God's doing something. We're on the verge of something great with God here. I'm just telling you, the atmosphere of our church has changed. The atmosphere of this pulpit has changed. But we have to have contentment. I'm content where I am. And number three, and this is the big one, a wisdom to manage toward increase. See, a lot of people can manage toward a budget. A lot of people can manage toward getting by. But no, you know what? Now, this is a breakthrough in finances I'm talking about. It's to where you manage toward increase. See, what happens in these times, what God's going to prove to you in these 60 days, when I said 100% return, what are you guys thinking? It's like, well, that'd be good. That'd be great. No, you know what? I say you put a demand on it. I say you recognize the man of God in this house and that voice, and you proclaim it. You lay hold of it. Is it too good to be true? In whose opinion? Things happen that were thought to be impossible through these times. That's what God's given us. That's what we're on the verge of. No, that's impossible. No, it's a new day. We have to be able to say yes to purpose no matter what the odds are against it. Is it God's will? Is the commission on your life to be a king on this earth? It seems impossible because you don't come from a lineage of kings. But you know what? I got great news. You're born again. And you know why that term is so incredible? Because when you're born in a country, you take on the citizenship of that country automatically. And you know what? I was born in Barnes Hospital, St. Louis, Missouri, December 5th, 1957. Which is so weird because when you have to put your birthday down on the internet, when you're applying for something or registering for something, December's easy. The 5th is easy. 57, that thing I'm scrolling for like an hour. It's like, dear God in heaven. What was I talking about? But you know what? When I was born again, guess what? My citizenship from this earth vanished. And I took on the citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. So now, to be a citizen, I could be ripped off of the benefits of that citizenship. I could be bound by whatever the devil wants to lie to me about if I'm going to accept it. But you know what? I can also take on the benefits of that citizenship. But you know what? It requires two things. Write this down. It requires the language. That's where we speak God's promise. We speak his word. And it requires the customs. And you know why it worked in my life? Do you know why that God raised me out of the miry clay that was in, I was in way over my head in the world, in more trouble than anybody in this room put together, and how God delivered me is because I took on the customs. The first decision that I made, The very first decision I make, I'm going to go to church every Sunday, no matter what. That was the biggest commitment I ever made in my life. And then, you know what? I went to church for a couple Sundays, and I realized, wait a second, there's Sunday night. Oh, whoa, wait, there's Wednesday night. Whoa, wait, there's Tuesday night prayer. My commitment went from going every Sunday to every dead gum time the doors are open. That's why it worked. I'm telling you, you can get it to work for you however you want to. I'm just telling you, for me, that's how it worked. I fell in love with the house of God. I fell in love with the church. You have to be able to say yes to purpose. And I think very few people have done that once, much less every time. See, this requires a different way of thinking, a different way of living. You know, we think differently than the world does. Do you guys know that? We live differently than the world does. See, and what God's given us in this revival is individual and corporate breakthrough. So guess what? Man, Joel got multiple words that his business was going to triple. Yesterday he said, it's going to be a lot more than that. Individual and corporate breakthrough. Say yes tonight to generosity. Do you want financial breakthrough in your life? No, for real. Do you want it to be serendipitously, I'm going to pull up God, the magic wand God gave me, and I'm gonna ping you with little ping. No, you know what? That's not how this works. You make a decision tonight. You say yes to generosity, radical generosity. You say yes to contentment. You say yes to wisdom. See, and what's going to come with this financial breakthrough is new measures of breakthrough.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.